Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello, welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
Today, something very close to my heart has come out, that cancer patients, the backlog of people who are diagnosed with cancer, it's about 100,000, and it's a crisis that's just building and building and building. Never mind about COVID. This is a crisis that's going to build and build and build. Let's talk to Professor Pat Price, the chair of Action Radiotherapy. Professor, good evening to you.
Good evening.
Is there anything we can do about this? It seems to me to be a ridiculous situation.
It is, and it's surprising the government aren't doing something about it. They've got a lot on their plate, they're doing other things, but it's as though cancer patients have rather been forgotten. It's all very upsetting to think about it, isn't it? And they're not doing anything. I think we just need to make a lot of noise on behalf of cancer patients in the media and in Parliament. Something's got to be done. It's getting worse each day.
Well, that's what we're here to do, Professor, actually. I was diagnosed about 6 weeks ago for the second time. And the first time was about 20 years ago. But, you know, it's one of those things. We all have problems in our lives. You just have to get on with it. Now, I'm with a hospital in London, an NHS hospital, and they called me in a couple of days later. If you are apparently quite seriously ill, they will do something as soon as they can. But the hospital itself needs to have the facility.
Yeah, because there can be a delay in getting a scan, can't there, or a test, which could be very worrying for a patient, like a month or two.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we're finding, and that's what patients are telling us. It's appointments are cancelled, appointments you've cancelled, you're not given another one. We know screening has been stopped for 6 months. That hasn't restarted properly. There's about 600,000 or 700,000 scans around the country that haven't been done. Never mind the people who are still quite upset and worried about actually presenting even. So it's all these patients that have got cancer and are either not in the system or haven't been diagnosed or are waiting in the system. And cancer isn't, as you know, James, cancer doesn't stop for anybody. And the longer it goes on without treatment, the less able we are to treat it. And as you say, what can we do about it? Well, I think we make a lot of noise. We've set up, as you know, this change.org catch up with cancer campaign, 300,000 signatures on that within about 2 months. And if you look on there, people can leave messages. If people who haven't got cancer, they feel so strongly about this. And the people that have, the stories are heartbreaking. People who've been trying to get appointments and whose relatives have died before they even got in the system. I think we've the government have got to give this priority. Why isn't it a priority? These lives are just as important as COVID lives. All lives are important. And we need, you imagine the amount of energy that went into sorting the COVID out. Why can't we have the same amount of energy going into health and the money to catch up? Because to catch up now, we've got to be super going at probably about 135% of the rate to catch up with all. We know we need it.
I was talking to a doctor. In fact, the hospital where I go, I'll be honest with you, I'm getting excellent treatment at Barts Hospital in London. There's nobody in there.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to go through all kinds of security and masks and everything else. Luckily, the doctor who's treating me is a bit of a tough nut, and he insists on seeing his patients.
And I'm really pleased for you. It is great, but as you say, anybody who's been into hospital now, it's empty. Mm. And I think there's a great variation around the country. Some hospitals have, and particularly cancer-designated hospitals, they've obviously been able to keep going. And there's other places that are having a huge amount of difficulty. But we need to do something. It is not okay to just not do anything about it. Patients have a right and deserve this, and we've got to shout out for cancer patients.
Professor, thank you very much indeed. We'll talk again, I'm sure, and if there's anything we can do for you, please will you get in touch with Talk Radio?
We will do, and good luck with your own treatment.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. Professor Pat Price, Chair of the Action on Radio Therapy.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
This whole fiasco in Parliament at the moment about everybody getting their knickers in a twist about how dare we change the withdrawal agreement. For goodness sake, the withdrawal agreement is not really getting us anywhere. Right, we've got two guests on this. First of all, let's talk to Christine Jardine, the Lib Dem MP for Edinburgh West. And Christine, always lovely to talk with you. You're still really keen that we remain in Europe, aren't you?
But we're out of Europe. I will always be a European at heart, James. I will always aspire to have the closest possible relationship with them. But I also recognise that...
Me too, I love the Europe. I love Europe.
What we have to do now is just build a good relationship with them.
That's exactly. What we all want.
Why
yeah.
won't they do it? Yeah. Look, rather than me do this, let me bring Alex Phillips in, who is a Brexit Party MEP. Alex, this is Christine. Christine, this is Alex. Christine, except we're leaving the European Union, but you don't want us to change the withdrawal agreement. But the withdrawal agreement, if I'm right, Alex, is not workable.
It's dreadful, to be honest.
Dreadful.
The problem is Boris himself called the package that Theresa May brought back vassalage. There are so many aspects of it which are just not going to sate Brexiteers' appetite for sovereignty and democracy. And it doesn't really ascribe to anything that we expected from becoming a truly independent nation state. Himself put this into legislation, and Boris, to hurry it through, pushed it through so he could win an election, and is now wanting to tear it up, which is a bit dodgy, but, we know that Boris is a bit dodgy. I don't like the fact that we are essentially Boris. Being disingenuous as a nation, and that our governance has been so sort of fickle and flippant, but at the same time, I've always advocated for a clean break Brexit. And if I were to weigh up whether the annexation of Northern Ireland to a foreign administration trumps the idea that we're going to break international law, which is something that the EU readily does on a regular basis to suit its own purposes, I would say let's take it on the chin. And while we're at it, let's repudiate the entire withdrawal agreement bill.
All right. OK. Right. Let's get some replies from Christine for that, Alex. Thank you. Christine.
Well, first of all, this is not Theresa May's agreement. This is the agreement which Boris Johnson told us all was the oven-ready deal. And we all warned him. We warned him at the time that there were problems with Northern Ireland, there were problems with the protocol, that this was dangerous for the United Kingdom. But no. Boris said it was our best deal possible and persuaded not just Parliament, but then in a general election, the British people, it was in the manifesto as the way ahead. And now he wants to tear it up. And I don't think it's any excuse ever in life, in whatever field it is, to say, well, somebody else did it too. I mean, that's just, I was taught as a child that doing something wrong, it's no excuse if somebody else has done it. You're responsible for your actions.
I agree entirely.
I'm not responsible for what the European Union did or may not have done or whatever, but we will bear the consequences of what this Conservative government does. And that is what worries me. The consequences on the international stage and here at home, the damage that they are doing to the United Kingdom is scary, frankly.
Well, damage that I would say is being exacerbated by people jumping up and down and saying, isn't it terrible what the United Kingdom is doing, when there isn't the same sort of international outcry as to what the EU are doing. And
that
it's all right to lose a sock in the washing machine. It's okay to absentmindedly lose a sock in the washing machine. To lose a constituent part of the United Kingdom as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is insane. And so it might look bad, but my gosh, he's made a filthy bed and he's got to get out of it.
Alex and Christine, thank you both very much indeed. What are we going to do about this? Thank you, guys.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Let's talk about the Battle of Britain. It's the 80th anniversary today. And 80 years ago, not that long ago in history, really, when you think about it, men who would become known as the Few took to the skies to defend Britain against the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe. Let's talk to Mike Yardley, historian, military historian. He served as a former British Army officer. Mike, good afternoon. Why am I saying afternoon? I have no idea.
Well, it is in certain parts of the world.
Don't worry, James. Well, yeah. You were making me, you know, I was jealous good of your evening. Ice creams. Good evening, James. The best I could have managed was a bottle of Corona beer. But the Battle of Britain, My first girlfriend's father was one of the development pilots of the Hurricane. And I always remember him telling me as a teenager about how they changed the prop on it, to change the pitch of the prop to get some extra altitude. Now, this was an extraordinary battle because, as you've said, basically these were kids, young guys. You know, you see a film like The Battle of Britain and in a way it gives the wrong impression because it gives you know, you've got middle-aged actors or people that are getting on a bit, and you've also got lots of dogfights in it. And I don't think really that's what that battle was like. Started first, really, with Hitler attacking shipping in the Channel. This is in July. And remember, Churchill has only just come to become the Prime Minister. And we've also, of course, been defeated in France, the whole debacle of Dunkirk. And so this literal battle for Britain begins. And the Luftwaffe then moves its attention to British aviation installations. And then from the 13th of August, which is a date that some say it started, other people put it back into July, there were these massive Luftwaffe missions, 1,500 sorties they flew, with us having about half that number. And
I mean, I live in Kent, and I actually wonder what it must have been like where I live with those planes, the German planes, coming over night after night after night.
Hundreds of them.
Hundreds of them. It must have been absolutely petrifying for people who live around
in formation.
Well, I used to go to Detling in Kent, which you probably know, James, and there was quite a lot of the leftovers of, you know, control rooms and that sort of stuff there. You could still see, you know, the writing from the war. And indeed, my mother was on the south coast during the war, and she and my grandmother were actually attacked by a German aircraft when they were cycling.
Really?
So, yes, they used to do that. They used to machine gun school children and stuff. It was...
God knows. But this was a bitter struggle. I mean, we had something like 900 fighters. The Germans had 1,100. They had a lot more aircraft overall, though. They had 2,500. We had about 1,900 overall. Now, the Germans had advantages and disadvantages. Their advantage was flying over the Channel, they could gain height. And their great tactic was to come down upon us from a greater height and just cause a carnage if they could in an RAF squadron. They had much greater combat experience. Of course, it went back to the Spanish War, and indeed to some of the pilots well before that. But they couldn't hang about. They only had about 10 minutes of fuel when they got to us. Now, we had certain advantages. We had great aircraft. We had the Supermarine Spitfire, Mitchell's famous invention, which had developed out of the Schneider Cup racing planes. And, you know, you've probably seen the film, but if you ever see that seaplane, it's an extraordinarily beautiful thing. It just looks absolutely right. And that, of course, was a metal-framed plane, whereas the Hurricane, which in battle proved to be a little bit hardier, was a wooden plane, or the frame, there's a lot more wood in it. It did tend to catch fire more than the Spitfire, but it was a little bit easier to fly, and it was easier to land, because if you look at the undercarriage, the wheels are actually spaced further apart. So this is a battle, not so much the dogfights of our national mythology. This is really a battle of very young men trying to survive, developing tactics very quickly. I mean, the tactics changed. I mean, of course, when it started, we didn't really know what we were doing, but we quickly learned. The Germans had the advantage, the Luftwaffe had the advantage of much greater combat experience. And when it was all over, the Germans had lost 1,500 aircraft, 1,000 casualties, the Germans had lost 1,900 aircraft with 4,000 casualties. We'd had 1,500 aircraft, lost 1,000 casualties, 500 Brits killed, 300 plus Germans. And I say Brits, of course, there were lots of other people involved, Australians, New Zealanders, Poles, all sort of French. You know, there were an awful lot of other pilots, as well as our own pilots, who were taking part in this, what must have been an extraordinary adventure for them.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale, or sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.